Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
It's lovely to be back here again. And I'm sure that you all watched Eurovision last night to the wee small hours. My daughter Lucy is now 12. She had a sleepover with a friend, Liv, and they slept in a lounge so they could stay up all night and watch the results. And I'm pleased to tell you that we came last, which we've done three times in the last 6 years now. What was that quote, Pat? You said it was what the contest deserved.
Exactly.
Our coming last was what the contest itself deserved. I quite like that quote. So this morning we're going to think very much about something part of Paul's story and what the gospel really means to him. And I want to delve into that passage a little bit. But, you know, I don't know, apologies if you didn't know that last song, Speak, O Lord, so well. I picked that because it's a great song about how God continues to speak into our lives. And this is the gospel, that it's alive and well and constantly speaking into our lives through the Bible and through creation and lots of ways God is speaking and leading us on. So let me just say a little prayer. Lord, thank you so much for the chance to be together this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to be here. And Lord, I pray that you will take the bones of what I've prepared and you will make those bones live in our lives, those dry bones, that our lives will constantly be aware of your word, speaking into them, helping us if we need encouragement, challenging us if we need that, and leading us on, please. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. So I put the cross up there. That was one I took years ago. It was at Lee Abbey. And I love that little image of the cross because it both speaks of the suffering of Jesus, but of the glory in the resurrection too. And as Jeff was reminding us of ascension and all that that means, Jesus going away so that his spirit would come as it has done, and also so that he would then return one day, which is our great hope. So you have the cross there, and that hand there, I think, was suggested by PowerPoint, AI. But I like that, you know, God's hand, our hand open, God's hand reaching out to us. And I saw a picture this week, actually, of, you know, the is it the roof of the Sistine Chapel, where there's the famous picture of God reaching down? And it did strike me, I'm not sure where this was intended. God is reaching like this to reach into our lives. And the figure representing man is sort of going, oh, all right then. And I thought, that says a lot about us, doesn't it really? God is the one. God is the one making this move towards us. And we struggle at times to be open to it, perhaps. Not at other times. We're joyful and ready to receive. So we are mixed up people, really. But the gospel is not of human origin. It's not like a lot of self-help things around, which are really helpful. I was thinking about mindfulness, which can be very helpful. But, you know, all these good ideas, above that is God. And often he uses some of these things. When I go on YouTube now, I'm constantly battered by videos about Tai Chi and how it's going to make me look like Arnold Schwarzenegger, which apparently is a load of rubbish because I read some comments about it. But, you know, sign up for this and in 10 days you'll, you know, be a big man and all of that. And, of course, it's not, you know, really true. There's many, many different ideas about how we can help ourselves in this life. But the great truth of the gospel, as Paul is pointing out now, is that that is the beginning. And it's God doing it, not us. I think I've got that quote here. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel preached is not of human origin. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ, which I just remind you of now. It's from Acts 9, which is about his conversion. And this is verse 3. As Paul went on his way, remember he was going to persecute Christians, as we reminded from that reading we had. As Paul went on his way, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven shone around him. God decides to do this. This is God's doing. And falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, Who are you, Lord? I think you already had an idea, didn't he? Who are you, Lord? And the voice said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do. Not only is it that, the initiative in there, but of course, bless him, very courageous, Ananias, who is praying one day and senses that God says to him, you know that guy who goes around, you know, persecuting and killing Christians? I want you to go and pray for him. How brave was Ananias? But again, part of God's plan for Paul and God's plan for us. And I wonder, you know, I was thinking about how, you know, people might say that this is a made up thing. This gospel of Jesus is made up. And yet, I mean, this is just the New Testament. This is jam packed of so many different ways that God speaks to people and reaches out to people. Not with any formula. It, you know, Paul had his way, which he's very good at sharing. But, you know, Peter and Martha and Mary. And then we go through the book of Acts and there's Tabitha who was raised from the dead. So many different ways God is at work. It's not a single way that we've made up. And I'm sure your stories are all different. This God is at work. And that doesn't mean to say we've got it all, you know, I think again, in one of the songs we sang this morning, wasn't Speak, O Lord, it's another one talking about we have our times of darkness and our times of sorrow. And that's very true for us, isn't it? But the song was reminding us that God is with us in those tricky moments. I thought I'd just play this little bit. This is from the life of Jesus. It's John's Gospel, I think. But it goes back to the beginning of John's Gospel. And again, the great reminder, if you listen to I think this is sort of Nazareth here, but the words coming over are straight from John's Gospel about how this was God's work.
In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. From the very beginning, the Word was with God. Through him, God made all things. Not one thing in all creation was made without him. The Word was the source of life, and this life brought light to people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has never put it out. This was the real light. The light that comes into the world and shines on all people. The Word was in the world, and though God made the world through him, yet the world did not recognize him. He came to his own country, but his own people did not receive him. Some, however, did receive him and believed in him, so he gave them the right to become God's children. They did not become God's children by natural means, that is, by being born as the children of a human father. God himself was their father.
There's that reminder again, isn't it? It wasn't by natural means. It wasn't a human thing. It was done by God, our Father. It was his work. And one of my favourite bits of the Bible at the moment is 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. I've probably quoted it to you before. And it says this, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for you and I, for those who love him. So, you know, his work goes on. And he, you know, we may limit God, but actually he has no limits into different ways he'll work in and out through us. And one of the things I love is that we can always pray that God will be at work through us to reach out to others and we won't even know about it. I find that liberating. You know, we can just pray, God, work through me today. Maybe you'll say something to someone and it will be full of God's Spirit. Or you'll smile at someone, or you'll show that you care for someone, and God will be at work. So we can pray that constantly, that God will be reaching out through us to other people because it is his work. And of course, one of the big challenges for me, because I get very stressed about what I do. I'm the one who feels like I've got to save the world myself. And, you know, I have to keep coming back to God, keep coming back to myself and reminding me it's his work. And I suppose I have things that remind me of that. This is, it perhaps sounds a bit, well, it's not silly really, because it really happened. I sometimes do sessions where I show lots of movie clips and use them to help people think about lots of different facets of Christian faith. And one time I showed a clip, and then I thought it had ended. So I carried on just talking about it. What I didn't realise was that at the end of the clip, it rolled on, the screen went black, and then a date came up on the screen. And I think it must have been when the clip was made, but I didn't realise that. And then I was only talking to someone afterwards, and she pointed at the screen where it was. She said, "You'll never know what that date means to me today." I didn't even know that date was going to come up. That's what God will do, is he will take things from us that we don't even realise we're offering, because his Spirit flows through us and it's not our doing. And I'm glad it isn't, but I wrestle with it because I constantly try to be in control. And I don't know if Paul wrestled with it really, because I'm sure he was someone who liked to be in control really. I wrote this reading a while ago, so I thought I would read this to you as a kind of reminder that it's God who's working through us. "You are the light of the world, and you are the light of our lives. You are the one who dispels darkness and fear. You are the one who lights the next footstep ahead. Show us the way. Dispel the shadows, please. Be the light in our eyes and the warmth in our spirits. Remind us once more that your light is the light of life, and nothing can ever diminish or overcome you." And that draws on that bit you just heard from John's Gospel. There's so many encouraging things in here, in the Old and New Testament. But if you're like me, you often forget to pick this up. And we rely on things in life, which can sometimes drag us down. But the Bible's not easy to read, but there are some fantastic bits in it. 1 John 1, chapter 3. "See how much your Heavenly Father has loved you. His love is so great that he's chosen you to be his children, chosen me to be his child." And I do wish the Bible, I was thinking about this the other day, you know, I wish the Bible was more like a soluble aspirin, because you put the aspirin in water, it dissolves, you drink it and it's gone into your system. But I think it's more like a throat sweet. You have to keep on taking them to soothe your throat. And we, you know, if this was like a soluble aspirin, put it in water, drink it, you're all done. It's fantastic. But it isn't like that, is it? We have to keep coming back for the next throat sweet, if you like. Daily, if you can. Coming back to get the good news into you that this is God and he will work through you and I. And this is how he does it, by how we get the word into us. I was thinking about, Paul talks about here, again, this is God's doing. God set me apart from my mother's womb. Before he'd ever started persecuting people and hurting people, God had chosen him to reveal his son in me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles. So Paul, this immediately reminded me of two Old Testament passages. Jeremiah is told, he's a prophet, and he's told early on, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you," God says to him. "Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." And then you get Psalm 139, verse 13. "You made all the delicate inner parts of my body. You knit me together in my mother's womb. You made me wonderfully complex," which is something I think on often with my own battles in life. But it's basically saying, you know, God chose you and I from a way, way back, and saw us through all those days. Perhaps, I don't know, you might have been a Christian most of your life, all your life. Maybe you had a moment of conversion. Whatever your story is, God saw you from way back. And he was with you when you probably didn't even know it, actually. And waiting for you the right moment when you and I might open up to him. And, you know, that reminder, and Paul says it here. It's incredible that Paul should say that, because he'd done so much that was wrong since he was in his mother's womb. And yet he recognises that God chose him from then. And you and I, what does that mean for us really? That we have been chosen like that. A while ago, I was on a church weekend and someone gave us this little project to do. Paul, he does it several times. He tells his story. And there's a verse in Revelation which says that the martyrs were saved by the blood of Jesus and their testimony. Their own story is vital. And this is what Paul is doing. So I wondered if you'd ever tried writing down either your story is, you know, of your life or how you become a Christian or where you are now with God in just 100 words, because it's not a lot. I'm not going to read it all to you. I'll put up, this is one, you'll see here, I've only chosen part of mine, but this is what I wrote about how I grew up in a Christian family. I always believed, but I kept quiet about it and had a powerful experience with God in Truro Cathedral. Then about 18 months after that, another 18 months went by before I, you know, became a committed Christian. And it was because I saw someone else who was changing and I wasn't. Decided to follow God as fully as I knew how. I've had lots of ups and downs in my faith. Feel useless at times, but I love the Bible and do my best to write about it in a down-to-earth way. That's one of my stories. There are many stories, aren't there, about life? But if you may not be someone who writes, so don't feel pressured to do it. But how would you do what Paul's just done? He's in a very succinct way told us a bit about his story. And it might help you, you know, maybe you'll write it down and then one, you know, not long after find an opportunity where someone's asking you about your faith. And it'll help you to process that because our stories are powerful. People can't argue with your story, can they? Actually, they can't say, no, I don't believe that happened to you. And you say, well, yes, that's it. That is what God has done in my life. That's God at work in my life. Because I'm short of time, I'm going to skip this, but I'm going to... one more little clip I want to show you at the end. Now, there's a little verse in this passage I absolutely love. And I only kind of discovered it a couple of years ago. Paul says this, after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to get acquainted with Cephas, who is Peter, that means rock, and stayed with him for 15 days. Now think about that. This is Paul, who was never with Jesus in those 3 years of the Gospels. He goes and stays with Peter. He must have really pumped Peter for all the stories he could remember from that time, because Paul had never had that experience. So what I think about that is this. This is what I love. The uneducated fisherman, that's Peter, teaches the man who was advanced in Judaism beyond many of his own age. This educated, scholarly Paul is taught and mentored by Peter, who's uneducated. That's how the kingdom of God works. You don't have to have the earthly qualifications at all. And I put there, the first will be last, the poor will be blessed, the small will be great. That's a great example of it. Peter teaches Paul, because Peter had so many experiences that Paul had never had. I just think that's a great little moment from that passage that I love. So never put yourself down. Never put yourself down. God can use us, you and I, in those ways. I left school at 16, did get some O-levels, not very many, really. But never went to uni, never went to sixth form. But I've had lots of opportunities to do lots of things, you know, because God has opened the door for me. So, yeah, you know, God will use us again in these unexpected ways to speak to others. This is another little example of the upside down kingdom. This was just something I wrote yesterday. Jesus might hold up a stick and ask you and I, what is it? And we would say, a stick, thinking that we were perceptive and clever. But a child would say, a rocket, an arrow, a wand, a baton, a telescope, a bridge, a giant's key, a stick insect, a flagpole, a pole to limbo dance under, a hurdle, a tightrope, a javelin, a giant's bookmark, a Luan blocker, a friend. And Jesus says, unless you become like a little child. And the reason I wrote that was because years ago, when we were thinking about doing all-age services and how to appeal to boys in church, my wife suggested that we should do a sermon with a stick. Because what we'd noticed was boys love sticks. And they become all kinds of things to the boys. You know, and we could use that stick as an example, to use it in some way to illustrate who Jesus was and what he'd done. But the reason I tell you that is I think that's one of the things Jesus means when he said, become like a little child. Be open. Don't close things down. Open things up. Because like I said, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived. And I've put that there, what God has prepared for those who love him. So this is a gospel where all kind of people get used, and it turns everything on its head, and it's living and active. The Bible says God's word is living and active. And so I just wanted to finish this little moment with a clip from The Hobbit, where Gandalf is asked, why has he brought this little hobbit along? He's so little, and he's blundering, and he makes mistakes. And this is his answer.
Mithrandi, why the halfling?
I don't know. Saruman believes that it is only great power that can hold evil in check. But that is not what I found. I found it as the small things, everyday deeds of ordinary folk. Keeps the darkness at bay. Simple acts of kindness and love. Why Bilbo Baggins? Perhaps it is because I'm afraid. It gives me courage.
Great little moment. It's the small acts of kindness and love that keep the darkness at bay. That's what you and I are involved in, but not in our own strength. God's power works through our weakness and our failings. So I'll just say a little prayer and then we'll sing our last two songs. Lord Jesus, thank you so much that you are at work, that your Father God is at work every day. And we can read and hear so many good words, but unless you put them in our hearts and minds and our souls, as Jeff was talking about, our whole being, then they won't make any difference, Lord. We need you to bring those living words into our lives so that we are different. Please do that today and each day, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to sing now number 59 and 51, which will be on the screen. So we'll do the two songs.